Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah! How about that? I didn't know that this is going to be a thing that we're doing, Al. I didn't know that this is something that is going to become a regular part of the intro, me screwing up our Lookie promos.
I'm more concerned about the pigskin extravaganza and the fact that Chris is going out of his way to highlight that the listeners are smarter than us.
Yeah,
they take an early 1-0 lead in the season.
No,
by the way, I've never had so much... so much at stake in a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, it was.
How
even
funny
going
is that?
To overtime, it's, hey, there's a pick six. Hey, they could score a touchdown. There was a lot of moments where you were more apprised of the spread than the actual result of the game, right?
All I was thinking, I'm like, this isn't that big of a deal. Just a quick fumble pick scoop for a six, and this thing is over. I got this thing locked up.
And look, you can keep score however you want. Quite honestly, I admire the moxie and just kind of doing it however you like. I think that that's pretty baller. But they have a 1-point lead on us. Here's what happened. The listeners, led by Starfish and Coffee, and if you would like to participate in the game on Thursday, go ahead and send me a tweet.
We're full, actually. We're already at capacity.
They have 7 points with their win last night. They picked up 4 points with that Raider win. I am in second place with 6. You are in third place with 5. So it's a 2-point swing between first and last. We're all
good
together.
Incorrect. Week one, you either win or you lose.
Well, in the
listeners
history,
won.
In the history,
you and
of
I
pools,
lost. So don't try to sugarcoat how
it's
you
not,
lost.
It is not. It's not sugarcoating anything. It's how every comprehensive cumulative pool in the history of football has ever worked. You can do
go,
it week to week if you want. That's up to you.
You're not going to go to the commissioner of Major League Baseball after 162 games and say, listen, I added all my runs up.
No.
If you add all those up.
No. What you would
this
do.
This looks a little differently.
No. What you're doing is after the first game of the season, you're like, all right, the Diamondbacks are the world champions. They won the season because they won the first game. That's
I'm
not
already,
quite how it works.
Listen, I'm already, as a commissioner of my league, I'm already on the hot seat. Already on the hot seat.
Look, I like that you're trying to reset the whole thing every week so you can give yourself a chance, but you're fine. You're only 2 points out of the lead. You're fine. Everybody is fine. We'll keep it moving. We'll get into the Raiders and Monday Night Football here in a little bit because, look, Chris's explanation right there is as good as anything else I've heard because I watched it with my own two eyes and I'm still not entirely clear. Hey, you know what? Very quickly, before we get to USC deciding that they care about football again, have you ever heard a head coach say this before, Slee?
He was warming up in the net. No one could find him.
Yep.
But things worked out.
Sure.
That's John Gruden.
Sure.
He couldn't find
the kicker.
What do you mean you couldn't find him? What the hell does that mean?
Couldn't find the kicker. Like they do a roll call before every set of down saying, okay, where's everybody? Not sure where the kicker is.
Derek Carr, present. Josh Jacobs, present. Henry Ruggs, present. Hey, where's the kicker? Kicker. Kicker.
Like, you know what? Throw him back out there. Take the 5-yard penalty and let's go for it on third down.
It was
incredibly confusing at the same time, incredibly entertaining. It didn't even seem like a sport. There was a point in that Monday night game, and I know we got a lot bigger topics to get into, but there was a point where I'm like, almost felt like a clown show. I'm like, what's going on here? Is this a preseason game? Like, what's happening here?
I didn't know, too, that all Raider home games were going to come with an NC-17 rating. I didn't know that that's something that goes on inside Allegiant Stadium. So we'll get to the Raiders coming up in a bit. Let's start with USC. And Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to participate with us, you know how to do it. On the Travis Lee Nation, on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, the call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So, returning to glory. Look, shortly after we went off the air yesterday, USC made the announcement that Clay Helton is no longer going to be the head football coach. They fired him. Dante Williams is going to take over in an interim capacity while they conduct a search for the next Trojan head coach. I know a lot of people, good. It's about time. You know, they finally did it. They care about the program, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, fine, and I guess better late than never, but this was a decision that they should have made a couple of seasons ago. Al, what I don't understand for the life of me is why you would do this right now as opposed to doing it at the end of last season. If at the end of last season you had made the decision, if you're athletic director Mike Bone, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, going into this season, if Clay Helton has a bad loss, I'm gonna end this. Then end it right then. Why go into a season? You know they're not going to go undefeated. You know they're not going to run the table. You know they're not a contender for a national championship. So basically, you've wasted an entire recruiting season. You've wasted an entire regular season. You've put a thing out in the universe where you're basically burning a season to the ground when you could have started over and started new a few months ago. It doesn't make any sense to me why they did it after one bad loss and not doing it at the end of last season or the season before that. Better late than never, but come on, man.
So let's first say this. You're right about the better late than never. It wasn't just us yesterday that obviously barking about what the hell is going on with USC's program. It didn't just start yesterday. But obviously, them making a move is the right move because you and I said you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. There wasn't going to be a different result. By the way, if you want to go all the way back to 2018, 5-7. 2019, 8-5. 5-1 last year in that shortened season.
Throw that away.
And then here 1-1 to start off this year. The point I'm trying to make is you're right, this didn't start yesterday. So your question is, well, why are you firing him now? You want to know why, Trav? This wasn't these incredibly smart front office. I say front office, but really what I'm meaning is the athletic director, president of USC. These aren't people that are looking forward. These aren't people that are saying to themselves, we really got to pay attention because I don't know if this is going anywhere. Because if that was the case, it would have happened a couple years ago. So why did they do it yesterday? They did it yesterday because there was so much pressure and humiliation coming off of Saturday. This wasn't, we're thinking ahead. This is, we don't have a choice. We feel like we're forced into this. We feel like we're pressured into it. It wasn't, USC wasn't coming out. Mike Bone wasn't coming out, like you said, at the end of last season saying, guys, we really appreciate everything Clay Helton has done. We do feel like he's, from a personality perspective, he represents the university really well. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't feel like we're any closer to getting back to a national championship, competing for a national championship. This is why we're going in a different direction. Trav, instead, it was, what the hell just happened on Saturday?
Right.
Everyone's booing Clay Helton as he's going into the locker room at halftime. No one's booing him in the fourth quarter because everybody
it's
already
empty.
Took off. And they're already on their way. You lose against a Stanford team that you were 17.5-point favorite.
At home.
And you were down 29 at one point. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Trav, is today a better day for USC fans because now there's some hope and opportunity to go bring in potentially a new coach? Yes. But let me also reiterate here, this is not done because somebody is seeing in the future and really has this vision. This is done because there was enough pressure put on you to where you felt like you had to do it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. The problem with this decision isn't the decision itself. It's why the decision was made. Clay Helton should have been dismissed from this job a couple of years ago. The program was stale. The program was not developing NFL players. The program was not one of those schools that you talked about in the upper echelon of college football programs. That it's Ohio State, it's Alabama, it's LSU, it's Georgia, it's Clemson, it's Oklahoma. These are the schools that we're talking about. It's Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been really good for the last few years.
But you were starting to expect mediocrity.
Right.
That's what the program has been the last couple of years.
And they didn't. Mike Bone didn't wake up on Monday morning and say, you know what, this program
is
really.
I got this gut feeling.
Yeah, this was obvious. The reason that it got done yesterday is because the noise got to a point where he couldn't ignore it anymore. He didn't want to do it. Because if he wanted to do it, he would have done it at the end of last year. He would have done it the year before. This is a PR move, not a let's improve the football program move. This is a move meant to appease Alan Sliwa and Travis Rogers and USC fans and USC alumni and people like Keyshawn Johnson, who were no longer buying into the Clay Helton deal, that this was done to, okay, well, at least they'll be quiet about that now. Well, you should have done this a while ago. Bill Plaschke wrote the column on Monday about, hey, he needs to go right now. Well, that column could have been written 2 years ago. This is not something that fills me with a great deal of confidence that makes you think, okay, you know what? The situation had gotten bad and the guy fixed it. It had been rotting. This is, you know, I used the analogy yesterday, Al, about the house is on fire, yeah. Right? And they're just watching it burn. Mm-hmm. This is calling the fire department after the fire's almost out. The house is burned to the ground. The only thing left is the chimney standing there. And you're saying to yourself, you know what? We better save the chimney. You know, the neighbors are complaining about all the smoke. We better call the fire department. And they show up and they're like, yeah, it's pretty much out. And that's where they leave themselves right now. Because I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to Paul Feinbaum, who was on with Key earlier this morning. And this should send a cold shiver down the spine of every USC fan.
I don't want to put any pressure on Mike Bone, but if he screws up this hire and he's got 3 months to make it, you might as well bury this program, because you can't keep doing this every couple of years. If you go and you get another guy and 3 years from now we're having the same conversation, then you're dead. I mean, nobody wants to go to your program.
I think Feinbaum's right.
I love Key in the background. Yeah. Not happening.
Look, Key's
they'll be fine.
Key's an SC guy, and I get it. And I'm sure that Key believes that they're the right hire away, and I get where Key's coming from. But you ready for a really chilling word? Nebraska. Nebraska was one of the marquee programs in this country through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Okay, they had a four-decade run where Nebraska was really, really good. Nebraska's dreadful. Nebraska's nowhere. Nebraska's towards the bottom of the Big Ten. Nebraska is a blue-chip program that is dead and buried and not coming back anytime soon. And I understand that USC has some things that Nebraska doesn't, and we'll talk about that coming up in a minute, but don't tell me it can't happen. It absolutely can happen, and that's why doing it now just is I'm glad it happened, I guess, and I'm not glad that anybody lost their job. That's a bad deal for his family and everything else, but it should have happened a while ago. You don't get credit for doing something that should have been done more than a season ago.
So here's the reality. We don't have to give credit anywhere. You know, this obviously had to be done. So I think a lot of people obviously agree with that ultimately this was going to happen, whether it was going to happen 2 games into the season or was going to happen at the end of the season, some along those lines. It just felt like the Clay Helton, like you've been mentioning, should have happened a couple years ago, that he should have been fired. This is a question I have, Trav. When you hear Paul Feinbaum say that they can't screw up this next hire, this is the real question. The real question is, you know, you and I were having the conversation yesterday, how much does the University of Southern California, from the athletic director to the president, how important is winning again? Mm-hmm. That's the real question, Trav, because at the end of the day, we can sit here and say, well, you got to find the next coach and you got to put somebody else in here. And who's going to take the reins moving forward? Does the University of Southern California, I know the fans care. I know the boosters care. I know the alumni care. I know they all care. Everybody knows that. The question comes down to how much does what kind of a priority is USC football in the grand scheme of things? Because we can all talk about how this was the wrong move, the right move. You got to do this, you got to do that. Their next hire will tell a lot. It will start to tell the story of what the future of the USC football program will be.
Yeah, and there's a lot more to get into. Like you said, how important is winning to them? I want to get into that. I want to get into a whole bunch of other SC. Like, who do you hire? Is this a great job or not? There's a million more SC questions, but I have a more pressing question.
Yeah.
I watched it. I still don't know what happened in the Raider game.
Okay, I got you.
The game was over and everybody left, only it wasn't over, and then there was a penalty and then an interception, and then they lost the kicker. What the hell?
Just sit back for a second, okay? Lamar Jackson drove the Ravens down. They went up by a field goal. 30-something seconds left. Derek Carr, a couple throws. They hit a field goal. Now I'm looking and I'm seeing, I'm like, I still have a shot at winning this pigskin extravaganza, as Morales calls it, okay? And that's what it is moving forward. We don't change that name, okay? Then game goes into overtime. And very simply put, the Raiders won the game without actually getting in the goal line. You see, there's a thing called review that is now that you have to pay attention to. When they got the ball at about the half-yard line, quick little false start. Let's move them back 5 yards.
Too easy from the one. Let's
Too
try
easy
it
from the
from
one.
The
Let's
six.
Go back far. Then Carr decided, I'm going to throw the ball so hard, even though I'm only 6 yards out or 5.5 yards out. It's going to go off my guy's hands. It's going to hit a Baltimore Raven in the helmet. Lamar Jackson's going to go from thinking the game was over to coming back into the game, fumbling the ball, and then they couldn't find the kicker. Does that help?
No. Not at all, actually. I still have no idea what happened, but the Raiders won. I know Raider fans are happy, and it was a fun game to watch. We'll talk more Raider football coming up in a little bit, but I want to answer your question, Al. How important is winning to USC, and how good of a job is that anymore? That's coming up ahead, plus your phone calls. They're already loaded up. I don't even have to ask for it. We're already loaded up, ready to go on SC football. We got all that. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Doesn't feel
Washington
quite the same,
State.
Does it?
The University of Southern California. Didn't Washington State come off a Portland State win over the weekend?
Well, you know, you got to play your best football to beat Portland State. They're not just going to roll over for anybody. You know, that's a big step up in scheduling for Wazoo along the way. Look, this season is up in smoke. It really is. And that doesn't mean that they can't go out and win a bunch of games.
Why did that fight song sound like it was from 1887?
Well, I think that's when it was written. Look, it's a good fight song. It's fine. They play it too often. They get a little overzealous with it along the way. But, you know, what are you going to do? What you're going to do
is – I
think
I heard it at the Coliseum during some Rams games over the years. But, guys, no, not this one.
Up 30,
no, but play we're the contracted. Song. We're contracted for this.
Down 30, play the song. Fired the coach,
up 30,
played the play song. Oh, hired a coach, play the song. Go on probation, play the song. Get off probation, play the song. They like that song a lot.
Just keep playing the song. Just see the board of directors all just saying that you just got to get the song in more.
I'm surprised they didn't have it underneath Mike Bone when he was announcing that he'd moved on from Clay Helton along the way. Dun, 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 dun. Clay Helton is no longer here. He's down the road. We got a new guy. We're going to try to find a new coach. Fight on, SC. Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you something? You are right about it being played. Go to an SC game. I'm like, guys, it's 2nd and 13. You don't need to play it right now. That's fine. Just wait.
Never
wait
a
for a first down. Wait. Get some kind of momentum.
All right, let's let the people in here, Slee, because they are fired up about Clay Helton.
Okay, before you go to the calls, I want to throw this out there, and I think we'll take a couple angles on this because I'm curious to get USC fans' perspective on this. Is that USC head coaching job still an A+ job? Pay attention to that, Trav, because there's a lot that factors into it's not just the program and their history. There's a lot that more that goes into it as well. So I want to get some listeners' reaction on that.
Yeah, well,
as well.
I think the answer to the question, there's a big variable. There's a big if. Look, on the surface, USC is a great job for the following reasons. It's in a huge market with a ton of players. Right, look around the rest of the country. Every other team's quarterback in the national championship hunt, whether it's at Clemson or Alabama or anywhere else,
coming from Southern California.
Right, they're all from LA. So the players are here. That's a big thing. This is what Pete Carroll did really well. He recruited Southern California better than anybody. Kept all of the great players here in LA home. So that's a good starting point. You have a very rich tradition. That's a good starting point. You have boosters that are committed to winning. That's important. You have a ton of money. That's important.
You're a private university that can, you know, you
do whatever
can cut
you want.
Any check you want.
You
yep.
can do whatever you want. You've got a ton of dough. You've got, while very, very old, you've got a very, very historic venue. The Coliseum is not sparkly and new like SoFi, but it's got an identity. It's
and that adds to the allure
years.
In a way.
For sure.
Right?
It's old school college football with USC in the Coliseum. It just feels good. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that lead you to believe that this is an A+ job. Here are a couple of things, though, that are not A+. The conference sucks. You know, now, can it get better? Sure. But the fact of the matter is, when we talk about the Power 5, the Pac-12, if it's not fifth, it's fourth. right? They are a distant fourth between those other three, the Big Ten, the SEC, and the ACC. Now, I understand the ACC is propped up by Clemson for the most part, but the Pac-12 has not been a part of the national championship run in any meaningful way since they started the playoff. They just haven't been in there. That's number one. And number two is, do you want to win? Do you get the support that you need from the university? And here's what I mean by that. Are you going to spend the money it takes? You think Oregon has ever had the moment, we can't do that. Don't spend the money. Don't build that facility. Don't pay that assistant coach. Don't make sure that those kids have everything that they need. Don't make sure that they do this. USC needs to pay the coach the going rate, which is millions of dollars a year. USC needs to pay the going rate for assistant coaches, which, believe it or not, is millions of dollars a year. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that those head coaches can bring their assistants with them, or else they're not going to leave. You need to spend the money. And here is the most important part, arguably, and it's ugly, but it's true. Are you comfortable being uncomfortable? Are you uncomfortable doing some stuff that maybe you wish other people didn't know about? Are you uncomfortable bringing in a kid who maybe shouldn't be there in the first place, but it's a really good football player? Are you comfortable working in that NIL situation that maybe gets a little, shall we say, unclear, a little gray, a little murky? Are you comfortable being uncomfortable with the stuff? Because Alabama is, Oregon is, Clemson is, Ohio State is.
I'm going to answer that question for you. I think it's an A-plus job. And I also think sometimes the predicament helps make it even more of an A-plus job. What I'm referring to there, Trav, it's not like USC has had a ton of success over the last 5 years and you're taking over somebody that has been to the Rose Bowl, was in the college football playoff over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. right? You're taking over something when it's down. It's the worst house in the best neighborhood, but damn, does it have an unbelievable amount of potential. That's the example I'd give. If the university took that much pressure over one game in week two, and I know there's a lot that added to it, right? But week two of the football season, that much pressure, obviously everybody pissed off on Saturday. Oh, by the way, Oregon, a few hours before, was taking down Ohio State on the road. I'm sure that kind of adds to the look where one program is going in the Pac-12 and the other one's going.
One team cares more than the other, and it's obvious.
With all that being said, I kind of think they're going to do what they need to do this time around. I could be wrong, right?
We'll find out.
By the way, we are going to find out, and that's USC's actions from this point on is going to tell you really if they're in this to win or they're not. But there's so many eyes right now on the University of Southern California. How disappointed people would be if they felt like you're just kind of doing the run of the mill and kind of going through the motions again. We'll see what happens, but maybe this time it's different. We'll have to wait and see.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. That's the straightest talk that there is. You know, which road do you want to walk down? Do you want to walk down the national championship road where you can go into Columbus without your best player and beat Ohio State the way that Oregon did? Or do you want to be the team that loses by double digits to a 17-point underdog on your home field?
But you have a really good fight song.
It's pretty good.
Excellent
fight
song.
Everybody knows it. Let's go to OC, the OC, my neighborhood. Raymond, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the new slot. So just wanted to say, I believe, you know, this has to be the time that he had to go out. You know, Mike Bone came into a situation where the football program was at a low. You know, the recruiting and the player development teams were 5-6 people compared to Clemson, Alabama, that are upwards of 20 people. He came in, he's hired a bunch of people, he's done a great job. It's tough to you know, come into that situation. And then on top of that, he has a $25, $30 million buyout back in 2019, 2018. And, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow as well. You go into the COVID season, you know, you don't have an off season, you don't have any preparation. He brings on a new staff, and you know, we don't have the chance to see what he can do with it. All right, you come into 2021, you got a full off season, you got all these resources, you got a favorable schedule, no Oregon, no Washington. Let's see what you got, Helton. You come out, you get shellacked in the second game, and that's it, buddy. You got to go. We all wanted him gone a long time ago, but Mike Bone had to do his due diligence. He had to give him all he could. And I think that this program, behind the scenes, is doing the right stuff to show that they want to win. Dante Williams, luring him from Oregon, the best recruiter. in the West Coast. I think we're moving in the right direction. Just had to get rid of Elton.
Yeah. No, I think they're heading in the right direction too, Raymond. And you bring up a good point. And you're right.
Can't really go in another direction.
No. And this idea, you know what I'm tired of hearing about? And this isn't directed at you, Ray, because you're just the last person to say it. But I've heard it said over and over. Oh, the buyout. Stop. You know how much money USC has? Stop. There are multiple donors that could scratch that check in their middle of the night without giving it a second thought. Like, oh, it's a $12 million buyout of 50. Here, take this. Let's get our program. Do you want to win or not? That this is not an economics thing. This is not something about, oh, stat. This is about, do you want to win or not? And maybe yesterday they made the chance, Al, or the choice, I should say, that they want to win. At least it's a step in the right direction.
Wells Fargo rates right now as low as 5.74% APR on personal loans.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, we threw this out there yesterday. If it's a money thing with USC, we can work on a bank. We could figure out what bank has the best interest rate and then take it from there. I'm pretty sure, Trav, I've never heard money problems in USC in the same sentence.
Yeah, USC, known as the school that really struggles to make ends meet. This is not USC's lot in life. They're
might
fine
have
when
to cut corners
to
when it comes to the economic side of things.
Hey, guys, we're taking the apples out of the cafeteria, and we're just going to go applesauce. Can't afford it. This, you know, times are tight. We had to buy out Coach Helton, so, you know, powdered milk for the football team. Give me a break. The USC's got more money than anybody else. They can do whatever they want when it comes to that. Let's try another one on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Venice this time, and Larry. Larry, you're on with Travis and Sully. What's up, Larry?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Doing good, bud.
The comment I wanted to make was, a few years ago, we had a coach that we could have hired. But I can remember John Ireland making a statement.
Yeah, Larry, I'm going to jump in on you right there. Your phone's breaking
all
up.
I heard is I could remember John Ireland making a statement.
Yeah,
and then that was it.
I know that where Larry wanted to go with that is that they should have kept Ed Orgeron as their head coach. And look, they decided that they did not want a guy that's going to sound like this and going to cocktail parties and shaking hands at golf tournaments and making sure that the boosters get what they need to get.
Nope, just get the job done.
They weren't going to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. That's fine. They opted to go in a different direction, and Ed O went and won a national championship at LSU and then had a bad year last year. COVID year, whatever, throw it away. They lost to UCLA pretty decisively a couple of weekends ago, so we'll see how the Ed Orgeron thing works out. What they need to do, Al, is make sure that this next hire is right, and that's what we need to get into next. We need to get into, I want to hear some more from the people, but we need to get into, where do you go from here? What do you do with this USC program? And you got to see it last night, right? You watched the Dodgers, no?
Yeah, we're going to have some questions here about the Dodgers coming up. These are good questions, by the way. These are Clayton Kershaw, who, by the way, will probably still get two more starts before it's all said and done. But what do you do if you're Dave Roberts and you got that rotation, if Clayton Kershaw is good to go? You start four starters in the postseason in a five-game set?
Yep. No, you do four. You do four, and you keep it rolling, and here's the question. What do you do in the rotation, and what do you do on the sidelines at USC? It's all coming up. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is why, as an athletic director, Al, you get paid a lot of money at a place like USC. To make tough decisions, like the decision to fire the football coach, and then even more importantly,
Hire the right guy.
Hey, buddy. Yep. That's it. Are you ready to go do this? Because let's take a listen real quick. This is what Mike Bone said yesterday about where USC's football program is and what they're committed to doing.
I'm proud of the fact that together I think we, oh boy, didn't lose a whole lot of games. When you think back of going through COVID, I couldn't imagine of going through COVID without Clay as a partner. But again, I think that we're committed to winning national championships, and we believe that in order to do that, a change was needed.
Okay, I like that we're committed to national championships. I like that part. But here's the rub: this is on you, Mike Bone. This is why you're here. When USC made the move to hire Mike Bone as their new athletic director, it wasn't to make sure that the golf team was good. It wasn't to make sure that the baseball team and the track team and gymnastics and swimming and water polo or whatever else they have at SC is at the top of the heap. It's to make sure that the football team is good. USC is a football school, period.
So you could still follow through on all those other sports like you're talking about, but the one that you're going to get the most heat for, most attention for, most praise for is obviously going to come with the college football program.
The only thing. You could win 10 national championships in volleyball. No one cares at SC, right? You need to be good at football, just like UCLA has to be good at basketball. That's their thing. Football is USC's thing, and you're here to hire that guy.
So this is his moment, right? I mean, if you kind of really pay attention, this is going to be his hire. This is, you just said, it's all on his shoulders, his back. And I do actually like in that quote saying, using the word national championships. That's not someone who shied away from what the expectation is. Trav, I don't know about you, but, you know, if we use Ed O as an example, there's a certain person that has to look a certain way. They have to... there's a coach that has to have a certain type of persona, exactly be in front of a mic a certain way. I genuinely believe this. Maybe I'm wrong. I really don't think fans, media, and most people care who that person is, what he or she looks like. Like, I don't think they care about that stuff. Are you getting results? I'm not saying, put it this way, from a priority perspective, this is what it's going to come down to. Chad, we could list down. LA Times had 13 candidates to replace Clay Helton as USC's head coach. I'm sure every single outlet over the next couple of days is going to put in their long laundry list of different coaches out there that are available that USC should go after. All I'm saying is it doesn't have to be this big-time name that has come from somewhere else. If you think you have the right coach that's going to fit your program, that's going to move your program in the right direction, that understands how important recruiting is, that takes advantage of that USC product, right? This is when you use the USC histories when you're trying to help the present and the future. If you think you got the right guy and you and I don't know all that much about him, that's okay, but you got to find the right person. I don't have that answer unless, you think you could list off five of your top candidates that you think should be coming in.
Yeah, Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. This is why Mike Bone's here. Not for me to list of candidates, not for you to have a list of candidates. Look, we know them. It's Urban Meyer. It's Mario Cristobal. It's James Franklin. It's Luke Fickle. We know the list. The guy from Iowa State whose name escapes me at the moment. Matt Campbell. Thank you, Emily. There's Chris Peterson. There's Bob Stoops. We know the names that are out there. That's fine. But what is Mike Bone going to do? Is he going to go get a guy that we all know? Because, look, if they made the announcement to Urban Meyer, it would be, oh, wow, okay, we know two things.
No, that's big time. That would be big time.
It's super big time because you know that you're going to win, and you know that at some point Urban Meyer's going to leave and it's going to be bad.
No, that's not going to happen. Urban Meyer, he's still going to do Jacksonville on Sundays. Uh-huh. Saturdays he's going to do USC. He's really got kind of his schedule all figured out.
The alternate is, from the moment that Mike Bone came here, okay, I understand you're going to evaluate, you're going to talk to Clay Helton, you're going to see the status of the program from the inside as opposed to the outside and all these things, but when you get hired as the athletic director at USC, the very first thing you better have written down somewhere is, who is my next football coach? Who is the first person I call in the event that I need to make a change here? He better have, and it doesn't have to be an A-list name. It doesn't have to be James Franklin or Mario Cristobal or Urban Meyer. It could be a guy that Alan Slewa, Travis Rogers, and the majority of USC football fans have no idea who it is. If you believe he's the right guy, go hire him. and put him in a position to hire the right assistants and go do it and let the thing cook and let it bake. People will give you a chance.
Here's what scares me. I'll tell you what worries me about this. We talked about it to start off the show. Clay Helton got fired from his job as head coach of the football program. Why did he get fired? Did he get fired two games into the season because Mike Bone didn't want to give him another opportunity? Or did he get fired because there was so much pressure coming on Mike Bone's shoulders that you got to get this dude out of here? That's why he got fired, Trav. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat it. And Mike Bone was sitting there, and the president of USC and all these, you know, all, this team of people were saying, I just don't see in the next 2 years that Mike Bone is the right fit. If you would have thought that, you would have done it early. You wouldn't have started the season with Clay Helton.
Which he shouldn't have done. That was his first mistake.
The pressure part, that's the one part that I would say. Mike Bone obviously caved to the pressure of the program, of the fans, of the alumni, of media, all saying, this dude's got to go. Why are we making the announcement? You need to be making the announcement. Will Mike Bone, in this search for a coach, is he going to go for the guy like you just mentioned? Is the right one, the right fit? I believe in this dude. I will fall by the sword because I feel this is the right guy to take USC, bring him back to that program, or is he going to cave into pressure? And I don't have that answer, but that's what just happened over the last 24 hours.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Los Angeles and Thomas. Thomas, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I believe that the next coach should be the man that was on the other side of that field on Saturday. Should be David Shaw. The man brings consistency. He brings discipline. If he had a larger recruiting base with more talent, I think he would have got much further. In fact, back in 15-16, I thought he should have been the number one or two guys they should have tried to recruit. Now, I know Momo is going to be upset at that. David Shaw, was that at the top of my lungs, should have been the last coach. He should be the next one. He should be on somebody's list. He brings that discipline. Like I said, he's consistently winning. When they had Andrew Luck, they have the talent. They were a top 10 team. If he comes to SC, where there's a large recruiting base, where it's talent rich, I think SC will get back to where it needs to be.
Look,
I think they'll be right there every year. And you have this eight-team playoff coming up soon. So all you got to do is make top eight. It's going to happen.
I think you're right on to something, Thomas, and I don't mean to cut you off, but look, David Shaw has been everybody's top candidate for a very long time. You're right. He's great. There's no but with David Shaw as far as coaching goes, as far as recruiting goes, and you're right about that. If all of a sudden you didn't have to make sure that you're recruiting, air quotes, Stanford type of guys, and you were able to go get just whatever type of guys, it gives you a lot more options. David Shaw had options to go to the NFL. David Shaw has had opportunities to go to bigger, more prestigious college football programs and has opted not to go. I'm not sure he wants to leave. And Slee, for me, that if you're at Stanford and the NFL comes calling, Jim Harbaugh bounced. You know, we've seen other guys leave. Denny Green bounced. We've seen all of these other players use Stanford to go to bigger and better places. David Shaw's had all of these same opportunities, and he's like, no, I'm good here. I think that David Shaw's a lifer at Stanford. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, you might be right. And just kind of think about it. He's already been there 11 years.
Yeah.
So he could – or this is his 11th season as a coach. And by the way, he's had great success, and some of these games are beating up on USC in the process. So I get everything that the caller is saying. You now have the USC resources. What can you do? What could David Shaw do? But you might be right. That might be a player, or that might be a coach that's happy with where he's at.
All right, so the Dodgers have a problem. It's a good problem, but a problem nonetheless. We're going to get to that coming up at 10:55. But next, it is Bunch of Funch. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, right before we get to Bunch of Funch, Al, let me hit you with this. This is from Captain Hindsight on Twitter. It says, I'm not an SC fan. I'm from San Diego. I rooted for SC when they had Coach O just because he sounded like the coach from The Waterboy. I don't know if that's a great idea to hire your head coach based on your favorite fictional movie character.
He obviously disagrees with that, and that seems like a great connection.
Why not?
Excellent connection.
Why not? Works for me. Funch, take it away.
All right, guys. A new startup company called Colossal says it'll try to bring back the woolly mammoth back from extinction within the next 6 years.
This is exactly what we need here.
Now, scientists will try.
In how long they're going to?
6 years.
6 years.
Six years. Sure. Sure.
So scientists will try to remove DNA from an elephant egg and replace it with like mammoth-like DNA. So I think they're just going to take something out the elephant egg.
This is Jurassic Park.
Exactly. I was going to say, it sounds like some Jurassic Park stuff, and I feel like it could go wrong where we have some woolly mammoths outside of LA Live right here before Laker games and stuff like that. So, guys, what's your feelings on bringing back extinct animals and back a la Jurassic Park style? And I'll go to you, Al, since I know you got some things to say.
Okay, so here we go. Can we use some of these resources to just figure out how to take the 405 from being so congested? Can we use some of the resources for that kind of stuff? Okay, let's put that to the side.
I don't know why you're worried about that. It's just 95 degrees in February now. Everything's fine. What's the
Everything's fine. Just it's all good on the climate front. Trev, this is what I'm worried about. I'm not as worried about the woolly mammoth coming back. I'm worried about Boston Dynamics and the woolly mammoth merging together. That these two separate scientists, corporations merging together. Now we have a woolly mammoth robot. That the robots that we're seeing now do these unbelievable backflips and just stroll around like everything's okay. Everybody's like, look how cute this little guy is. I'm worried about that 6-foot chiseled, I don't know what the hell it is, robot merging with the woolly mammoth, and then we got to deal with that. That's what I'm worried
Look,
about.
Look, we're near the end of the line anyway. I say bring it on. Let's make woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers and pterodactyls or whatever else
it takes.
So it's
going to be like a cross between Jurassic Park and Terminator.
Yeah, but why not? Let's do it. What could possibly go wrong? I just, as a general idea and as somebody that's not an inventor, what do I know? But can we stop inventing things that can kill us? That just seems like a pretty bad idea.
I think those days are long, long past us.
I think you're right.
All right, guys. Now, especially things from I didn't know about, but you guys probably know about it. Travis probably knows about this, who Andre Dawson is, former MVP, Hall of Famer, baseball player, Cubs legend, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, I just found out that Andre found a new career after playing ball, and has a mortician.
Oh, that's right. You know, I think I did know that.
That's right. Dawson and his wife own a funeral home in Florida where they actually exhume the bodies themselves and do all the stuff that undertakers do, which is, you
know.
So
he's not just, like, running the
business. No, he's not just
the
business.
He's embalming the bodies?
He's doing all that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're going to get in there, get in there.
Now, this has to be the most interesting post-career for any ball player I've ever known. I want to know how he got into it. Does Zed's body scare him and all that stuff?
Obviously not.
So I asked this, guys, and I'll start with you, Trav.
Okay.
If you guys weren't doing what you guys are doing now at ESPN LA, doing a 10-to-1 show, what would you be doing if you weren't in the broadcasting field?
Making woolly mammoths to stalk Slee
sure.
in his sleep?
Sure. Yep.
No.
He'd be a huge investor.
I honestly, mortician would not be in my top 10,000 potential occupations. You know what I think I'd like and something that I think maybe I could be halfway decent at? I think I'd make a decent chef. I think that I could go to
right
work
down your alley.
As a chef. Yeah,
right down your alley.
It's a ton of work. It's super hard. There's a million different techniques and things that I don't know, but I do like cooking, mostly because I like eating. Chef would be near the top of the list, or sommelier would be really good too. What do you do for a living? Oh, I taste wine. And then I tell you what type of wine you should like. So something in the food business.
I can
chef
see you being a chef
sommelier.
Because whenever you send those pictures to us about what's your food, it's
yes.
like great presentation.
Thank you. Funch.
Here's the problem. Here's the only thing.
I'm done
here's
for today. I got nothing else to add. That's the nicest
here's the only thing
said to me.
You're going to end up like running a diner. It's open 24 hours, and you're going to get calls all throughout the day. Hey, we need you in. The chef
we're
that
out
was
of pork
working
chops.
3 a.m. to 9 a.m. can't make it. Got to come back in. That's what would happen with
it's
you.
Right, true.
You know, I probably do, Funch. I used to do this. This was during college, and yeah, you run one of those YMCAs. And
are you gonna be a lifeguard at the YMCA?
No. There's a rec center that I used to work at back in the days. Trav, I don't know what it is, man. You know how much fun that was? You know how much fun that was? You're coaching kids that are 6th to 8th grade.
Yeah.
Coaching football, coaching basketball. Maybe run one of those offices.
It's been a long time since I've been in one of those rec centers, but what's that game with like the checkers that you flick across the board into the goals?
I know what you're talking about.
I was really good at that.
I know
I like
that
game.
About.
I don't know what it was, but let's just call it flick checkers. You could be my flick checker coach.
Those things, they'd be open till these rec centers would be open till 10 p.m., okay? From 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., there wasn't a soul there. So one of us would go get Mexican food. We'd come back. We'd either play ping pong, pool. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm getting paid for this.
Sounds like a pretty good gig.
All right, guys. Sotheby's will be auctioning off a pair of Nike Mag shoes signed by Back to the Future star Michael J. Fox. Mm. Now, if you don't know what the Nike Mag shoes are, they're the electronic laceless high tops that Marty McFly rocks in Back to the Future 2. So you know those shoes in Back to the Future 2 that everyone wants?
Yep.
Self-lacing.
Yeah, self-lacing. All right. Sorry, the hoverboard is not included, Travis. Now, the price of these babies are expected to fetch around $30,000 to $50,000 for this piece of movie memorabilia. Yes, yes. Now, I don't like a lot of movie memorabilia, but this is something that I would love to have, and I would add it to my shoe collection. I probably would even wear it to the station and maybe even display it at Funch Manor. So, fellas, I'll go to you, Travis. If you can have one piece of movie memorabilia, what would you have?
Dork alert time. Okay, ready? I'm going to go super dorky here, but I would love to have the bat from The Natural. I'd love to have Wonder Boy.
Of course you would.
I think that having Wonder Boy, the Wonder Boy from The Natural, I am all over that. That would be the very first thing I would want.
What movie is it? I completely forgot. I'm going to try to think of this on the fly. What movie is it with a Ouija board?
Jumanji?
No, it wasn't just Jumanji. I know Jumanji was one of them. Wasn't there a scarier one?
Yeah,
I can't think
Ouija.
Of it.
It was called Ouija.
You're the one that wants the Ouija board. You should know the movie, not me.
I'll take the Ouija board. I'll take the Ouija board. I know I'm not much of a
just
you got
to
have
Target
this
and buy Slee a Ouija board. Apparently he doesn't even know the
expensive man. I'll tell the station to get it for you, man.
What can I get from The Godfather? What can I get from one of those other classic movies?
Yeah, I don't know. Just make sure that you pick up Wonder Boy.
You can get
on
the gun in Godfather that they hid behind the toilet, right?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty
damn
good right there.
Yeah, I don't need the gun. I want one of those things with the Trav wants chain for my
Trav wants the Italian dinner right before the guy gets shot.
The meatball that was part of that meal.
There you go. All right, so the Dodgers have a problem. A very good problem, but a problem nonetheless. Slee and I will break it down for you. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.